Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, here's a sobering fact. Did you know a significant number of kids look forward to going back to school because it means an escape from the neglect or abuse they experience in the home? A closer look at this problem that is more common than it should be. Also this morning, happening around town ahead of their next mission in less than a month, Flag City Honor Flight invites you to a special concert this Sunday afternoon by Findlay's own big band, Night Jazz. Your standard back-to-school shopping list probably didn't cover everything. We have what you need to round out your checklist of supplies to have on hand for the fall season, and more simple and delicious recipes for your family from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, August 16th, 2024. Here's some alarming news you definitely want to know about. First thing this morning, your Social Security information could be compromised. And more than likely, it is. How do I know that? Because all of our Social Security information could be compromised. The report here says that hackers stole data from national public data and tried to sell it, and then decided to just post it all on the dark web for free. All Americans' Social Security information could be compromised. So we've kind of hit critical mass with these data breaches. I mean, at this point, if they hacked into the national public data database of all American Social Security information, then that really renders every other hack moot at this point, doesn't it? I mean, that's like the holy grail, I think, of all hacks. The group claims to have nearly 3 billion records of personal data from not only this country, but throughout North America and the UK. Experts say the best course of action is to freeze your credit files right now. Do this right now to prevent others from signing up for loans and credit cards and all of that in your name. So, there's some cheery news to start the day with, right? Wow. That is big news. Big, big news. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to start off your Friday morning. Did you hear the Italian Bowl is coming back to Toledo? A couple of years ago, Toledo hosted the 2023 Italian Bowl, the Italian League Football Championship game, and it was considered a big success. I believe, if memory serves, didn't Mayor Mern actually participate even in some of the festivities surrounding the Italian Bowl? I think she did. So anyway, apparently the Italian Football League was happy with the way it all went a couple of years ago in Toledo. So they are coming back. It'll be at the Glass Bowl. I don't know the date of this, but I always thought it was, I thought it was weird when they did it a couple of years ago. And I still think it's a little odd that the Italian Football League would hold their league championship game in the United States. You know, just, okay, we've played all year in front of our fans. We've got to the championship game. Let's take it to another country. And I know Americans are football crazy, but, you know, it's not like this is the best football out there, and it's not the NFL level, probably not even the, United Football League level, you know, like the, USFL and XFL, probably not even to that level. Maybe about the quality of a lower level college program, but apparently that would be like Major League Soccer, this country's soccer, professional soccer league, going over to England to hold their championship game. Yeah, I get it. You'd take the game to, you know, a place where people are crazy about the sport, but are they going to be crazy about this level of the sport? It's not the level they're used to seeing. So I don't know. But apparently, they're coming back to the United States. And it is kind of a big deal. And there's people who will come from Italy to see. And it's a big tourism thing. They'll make money. So It's kind of cool. Let's see. What else going on? The house from the classic horror movie Poltergeist is for sale. I know that the real estate market is kind of tight, but how tight does the real estate market have to be in order for you to buy the Poltergeist house? It's a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home on a 16,000-square-foot lot in Simi Valley, California. So it's actually a pretty attractive property. Has an asking price of just under $1.2 million. There is a swimming pool in the backyard. If you remember the climactic scene of the movie, the swimming pool in the backyard, the original owners of the house promise it is not, repeat, it is not built on top of a cemetery as depicted in the film, and it is not haunted. So, reassurances. But I got to think that a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home on 16,000 square feet with a pool usually in Simi Valley, California, would usually go for more than $1.2 million. I mean, you know, this is a part of the country where a little one-bedroom bungalow would go for like $750,000. So that seems like a very reasonable asking price for that home in that part of the country. I gotta think it has something to do with the connection to the movie. You know what I mean? It's just got to. Crazy story. Did you hear about this? There is a man, and I'm not sure exactly where he's from, but this guy who is suing the Walt Disney Company because, let's see here, Jeffrey Piccolo is his name. Back in 2019, let's see here. Well, no, I guess this is, well, let me start over. Jeffrey Piccolo is his name. He's suing Disney for wrongful death. The lawsuit says in October of last year, his wife passed away due to an allergic reaction she had while dining at one of the restaurants at Disney Springs. There at the Walt Disney World complex in Orlando. So he's suing for wrongful death because of the tragic passing of his wife. And it really is a sad story. The Walt Disney Company is trying to have the lawsuit dismissed, claiming that since Mr. Piccolo signed up for a one-month trial of Disney Plus, the streaming service, back in 2019, the fine print says that he is required to arbitrate all disputes with the company, that he gives up the right to sue, and all cases must be settled by binding arbitration. This has nothing to do with the streaming service. this is something that happened at their resort complex in Orlando. But because he signed up for their streaming service, he agreed to binding arbitration for all disputes with the company. And that, they claim, is a blanket declaration. Wow. That is crazy. That is crazy. No word on, I don't know when this case will be settled or when the judge is going to decide on this, but can you believe Walt Disney is, I think Walt himself would be turning over in his grave if he heard about this. That is crazy. And lastly, here among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. A new research study, and this is very important as you're just waking up and starting your day, a new research study has found that you can have too much coffee. There is such a thing as too much go juice in the morning. This research out of Zytus Medical College finds that consuming more than 400 milligrams of caffeine per day, which translates to about 4 cups of coffee. Consuming more than that increases your risk of heart issues. Regular Dr. Nancy Kagathara, the lead researcher in this study, says regular caffeine consumption could disturb the parasympathetic system, leading to elevated blood pressure and heart rates. This is the system that helps bodies rest and recover. And this interrupts and disturbs that natural rhythm of things in your body. The study involved nearly 100 healthy people between the ages of 18 and 45. The most likely to consume excessive amounts of caffeine, the groups most likely to consume excessive amounts of caffeine include women, people who work in management roles, and those who live in cities. So, 4 cups of coffee or 400 milligrams of caffeine per day should be your limit. Anything more than that, and you could be causing your body serious damage. Yes, you could have too much coffee. So, on that cheery note, there you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Showers and storms possible today, a high in the mid-80s. A chance of a shower or storm tonight, a low in the upper 60s. A fire destroyed a church in northwest Wyandotte County, not far from the Hancock County line. The fire happened at Beech Grove Wesleyan Church on County Highway 4. The Wyandotte County Sheriff's Office says the call came in at 1:16 Thursday morning. Fire crews from Wharton and Cary responded, as well as Van Loo and Delaware Township from Hancock County. The Sheriff's Office report states that no one was inside the church at the time of the fire. No word yet on the cause. Get more on our website. First Energy has agreed to pay $20 million to avoid criminal charges in a state bribery scandal. It's the latest in a complicated saga involving Ohio's former House Speaker and First Energy executives.
Back in 2020, First Energy executives and former Ohio House Speaker Larry Householder were accused in a bribery scandal. First Energy admitted to paying $60 million in bribes to Householder so he could help pass House Bill 6, a piece of legislation that allocated $1 billion to bail out First Energy's two failing nuclear power plants. First Energy signed an agreement with the Ohio Attorney General's office pertaining to their involvement. The AG's office agreed to drop criminal charges if First Energy would agree to a $20 million settlement.
ONN's Annabelle Childers reporting. There was a lot of activity on the University of Findlay campus on Thursday during move-in day. A lot of freshmen moved into their dorms on move-in day, including Liza, who came all the way from New Hampshire to study animal science at UF. We asked her what she's looking forward to the most about college, and it sounds like she's ready to get right to work on her major.
Just getting the animal experience. I've done livestock since I was 9 now, and it's just getting more experience with all the different things that they have more ability out here to do than they do over in New Hampshire.
See some video from UF's move-in day in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, this is a really tough subject to talk about, but we're going to take it up because it is so very important. A significant number of students, not the majority, but a significant number, look forward to going back to school because it can mean an escape, a reprieve from the neglect or abuse that they experience in the home. Dr. Melissa T. Merrick is President CEO of Prevent Child Abuse America. And Dr. Merrick, you have some statistics on the number of kids for whom this is a reality. I was really shocked that it's like 1 in 7 or roughly 15% of kids.
Yeah, and that's just our best guess. You know, our data systems are imperfect at best. So we know that even if one child is experiencing child abuse or neglect, it's too many. But yeah,
certainly.
I think 1 in 7 at least we think experience this kind of thing. And that's why our work in prevention is so important. We want to prevent it before it starts.
And to that end, you just put out a new national public service announcement campaign about preventing child abuse and neglect. Talk about the reason for launching that now. I would imagine it is because it is back to school time, and what people will notice about it. And I think it's interesting. There's some stuff that people might not expect.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've really come a long way in the past 50 years in understanding the underlying causes of child abuse and neglect. You know, we used to think that it was a bad parent. It is not bad parents that are at the roots of these issues. We know overwhelmingly that parents want to be good parents and are doing the very best they can do. But sometimes things like a parent's own childhood trauma or extreme stressors in their current environments may be stopping them from being the best parents they can be. So we all have a role to play in preventing child abuse and neglect and in supporting all parents. So that's really why we released the PSA now.
So talk about why it is so important to and how to sort of cut through that shame, if you will, to get to those root causes.
Yeah, well, first of all, we know that prevention is possible if we support parents and caregivers before they're in a crisis. You know, it's a fallacy that there are perfect parents out there or parents that do every single thing totally, perfectly and totally independently or on their own. It's just not true. We all need support sometimes. So when we address some of the bigger things that are in the, you know, environment, in the context that put children at risk, like things like access to affordable, high-quality childcare or healthcare, safe and affordable housing, well-paying jobs, like all of these things, when we focus on those roots, we can actually improve outcomes for millions of children and families.
You make such a great point that all of us as parents need a little help, a little support at times. It's almost kind of like a there but for the grace of God go I kind of thing. What tips do you have for parents who might be feeling some of that stress that can boil over, especially as we get to back to school time?
Absolutely. Back to school time and any time of transition as we try to navigate new schedules and routines and even have new expenses, right? This can really be a huge stressor for parents. And it means that we need to rely on one another, right? First of all, we need to reduce the stigma of asking for help. It's actually a sign of strength if you as a parent ask for help and, you know that you need some help in taking the load off so that you don't bring that stress home. So talking to a trusted friend, problem solving with that person before you come home and take that out inadvertently on your children or your families. Also taking time out for fun things and silly things with your children, you know, growing your relationship in different ways, like playing games or being goofy, reading together, whatever, that can also lessen our individual stress. And, you know, parents, we have to reduce our own guilt and shame for needing help or needing time alone. Like whatever it is that fills your cup and allows you to bring your best self to this job of parenting, that's actually something that we should applaud in one another and really see as an active step at trying to be the best parent we can be.
Important to note that we're not just speaking to those parents, quote unquote, those parents this morning. You were kind of touching on this before, ask you to expand on this. What can we all do in order to help friends or neighbors or even relatives who may be struggling with these issues?
Yeah, there's so many things that we can each do each and every day for people in our own circles, right? Because we know that true prevention will take all of us. So things like, you know, making a meal for a new mom or a neighbor, in your neighborhood, reaching out to another adult that's going through a stressful time, like job loss or divorce, you know, lending that help full hand or that listening ear can really go a long way in supporting other people. It's also like if you have a little more time or resources to give, consider participating in local diaper or food drives or back to school, you know, backpack drives. All of those kinds of concrete supports really help lessen the load on families. And becoming a youth coach or a mentor, this is another way that we can support not just parents, but also young people mm-hmm. in our communities. There's just so many ways that we have to come together to show up for one another.
And lastly, to sort of put a bow on this and you know, emphasize the importance of it, what are the long-term impacts of this? I mean, certainly there are kids who can overcome this kind of, you know, these situations, these upbringings, but not all. Yeah. What are the long-term impacts here?
Yeah, when kids suffer from traumatic experiences in childhood, like abuse and neglect, they're really at a higher risk for a number of mental health and physical health issues into adulthood, right? So that's, again, why we need to invest more time and resources into preventing these experiences in the first place, because when we do that, we can actually reduce the risk of the nation's five leading causes of death, right? Things like cancer and heart disease and diabetes, they all have their roots in childhood. Ultimately, when we have healthier kids, they go on to be healthier adults, and that impact is felt by all of us. We'll have a stronger workforce pipeline, stronger economy, and just an overall stronger and more supportive society.
Again, Dr. Melissa T. Merrick is President and CEO of Prevent Child Abuse America. They are out with a new public service campaign about preventing child abuse and neglect. Where do we get more information on all of this?
You can visit our website, preventchildabuse.org. We've put together a list of tips and resources specifically about back to school. So whether it's to help relieve your own stress or others in your community, you can also click on the orange Find Help button to search for resources in your own community and to be connected with your local state chapter, the Ohio Children's Trust Fund.
Such an important topic to talk about this morning. Dr. Merrick, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Happening around town this weekend ahead of their next mission in less than a month now, Flag City Honor Flight is inviting you to a special concert on Sunday afternoon by Findlay's own big band Night Jazz. Steve Schult from Flag City Honor Flight is with us on the line this morning. And so we're about, a little less than a month away from the next flight, right? September 10th is the date, I believe?
Yep, September 10th is our next flight out of Grand Air at Toledo Express Airport.
And this is, what, the third flight this year?
This is our third flight of the year. We have one more flight on November the 12th after the September flight. And our September the 10th flight is fully sponsored by our good friends in Findlay at Marathon. So
that is awesome.
We're always very thankful for all their support that they've given us over many years.
Yeah, and really quickly, just kind of put this in perspective, and I know we've talked about it before, but what does it take to pull off just one of these flights from a financial standpoint?
Well, one of the flights, we basically tell people between the chartering of the flight and all the food we have to buy in D.C. and et cetera, it basically costs us about $100,000 per flight.
Wow.
So that's a pretty close estimation to, you know, give or take a couple thousand dollars one way or the other. But yeah, it's right around $100,000 a flight.
To say nothing of all of the man hours that it takes to put one of these things together. And the man hours, that part of it is, you know, what you do and love doing and the volunteers do. But you can't dig into your pocket to pay for the flights. And so obviously it takes a great number of donors and benefactors to make this happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. All obviously, as I know, you know, Chris, all the man hours are free. So nobody's paid, and we have a great board that puts a ton of work into this, and we have a number of other fabulous volunteers that that help us on all these flights. And as I know, you know, it's an extremely rewarding thing for everybody.
And as you mentioned, there's still yet another flight planned for this year. And moving forward, I know the mission of Flag City Honor Flight is to keep going until you can get all the veterans who want to go to D.C., on one of these flights. What is the wait list like right now?
Well, the wait list now is still about 600 people.
Wow.
So it's going to take us a while. And I always somewhat joke that, you know, right as we get about 85 veterans each flight, 85 to 90 veterans, we get some great press coverage of it, and about another 100 apply after a flight. So we're doing our best, but we keep getting more added to the list, which and, is a good problem to have.
Yeah, exactly. And but that kind of sets the stage for what we're talking about here. This concert on Sunday is the latest in a long string of fundraisers, and I know that you've done this with Night Jazz for a number of years now. Talk a little bit about what is happening on Sunday. This is a great event because it's open to everybody. Just come out, enjoy the music, and give what you can, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. Night Jazz, that band has been very supportive of us over many years, do an annual concert, and it is this Sunday, August 18th. The doors open at 1 o'clock. The music starts around 2. It'll go till about 5 o'clock. It's free. Yeah, and obviously any donations are accepted from anybody that wants to come. It's at the Old Mill Stream Center at Hancock County Fairgrounds. So, yeah, anybody is welcome to come. Hope to see people there.
And you can find out more there at the event about Flag City Honor Flight, how you do what you do, obviously always looking for additional volunteers and folks who can help out. And anyone who has any questions about the program, this is an opportunity to get those questions answered too.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have a number of board members there. And for anybody who comes, you'll see all the board members will be in the red polo shirts. So feel free to come up and talk to any of us. We're happy to talk about Flag City Honor Flight or any ways that you know, you can possibly help us in the future.
Again, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock at the Old Mill Stream Center on the Hancock County Fairgrounds. Doors open at 1 for Night Jazz, all to benefit Flag City Honor Flight. Next flight coming up here in a little less than a month. And Steve Schult, thanks very much for taking the time for us this morning. We appreciate it.
No problem, Chris. Appreciate everything you do for us. Thanks.
Of course, some kids are back in school already. Others will go back next week. Many won't be in class until after Labor Day. But whatever the case may be for your family, beauty and lifestyle expert Kelsey Griffin has done her homework on this season's top back-to-school essentials. And she joins us this morning with what you need for the classroom and beyond. Kelsey, what is your top tip for prepping for those first days back to school?
Yeah, so as we head into the back-to-school season, it is definitely the number one most important thing to keep our health in top shape. We want to stay healthy. So Airborne's new and improved formula is here to help. It is packed with 7 essential ingredients for immune support. So by adding Airborne to your back-to-school shopping list, you're going to be ready for the school year with a boost of vitamin D, more zinc, and an unbeatable amount of vitamin C. These supplements come in the same tasty, effervescent tablets and chewables that we all know and love from Airborne in flavors like zesty orange, berry berry, and citrus. And you can find Airborne at Walmart, Sam's Club, Walgreens, Target, and other grocery and pharmacy stores, wherever you're doing your back-to-school shopping.
Very good. You also have some back-to-school beauty tips to share. The risk of, you know, feeling like we're being vain here. Everybody does want to look their best, so lay it on us.
Yeah, you cannot forget to stock up on your beauty essentials. It's definitely part of the back-to-school shopping. And with the change in seasons, your skin is probably going to start to feel a little bit dry. So it's definitely time to start exfoliating and moisturizing that skin to get ready for back-to-school. And Tree Hut just launched their new musically-inspired fall collection featuring their new scents Pumpkin Pop and Cherry Rave. And you can find these delicious new scents in their fan favorite forms, like their body wash, the Shea Sugar Scrub, and Whipped Shea Body Butter. And these products are packed with nourishing vitamins, antioxidants, moisturizers, and these are really going to tone, brighten, and deeply hydrate your skin. So you're all ready to go back to class. And you can find the fall collection online and in store at Target, Ulta, and Walmart.
Music inspired. That's pretty cool. And you know,
so
that's
fun, right?
Yeah. And that's, by the way, that's good advice for all those who are going back to school or not. Obviously, you know, again, with a change of seasons, those beauty routines going to have to be updated. So very important to note there for everyone. And then you also have some delicious and most importantly, nutritious on-the-go snacks, because we get into back to school, the days start to get really, really busy between our studies and after school stuff and everything else. So what have we got here?
Yeah, so you want to fuel the school day with a delicious snack that, you know, you can really look forward to. So we think the Black Forest gummy bears are the perfect choice for that. These are made with real fruit juice and they are now even juicier. So the Black Forest gummy bears come in 6 delicious fruity flavors and they have this soft texture that you just cannot find anywhere else. I absolutely love that these are made with real ingredients. So they have real fruit juice and colors and flavors from real sources, making them the perfect back-to-school snack. And they're available in small pack sizes, which is great for lunch boxes to throw in your purse, just have on the go. And you can find the gummy bears at a retailer near you or at blackforestusa.com.
Very good. Again, what you need for the classroom and beyond this back-to-school season, beauty and lifestyle expert Kelsey Griffin. Kelsey, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So this is kind of unusual, something that we don't often have in the broken news. The owner of the Milwaukee Brewers makes the broken news this morning. Mark Attanasio, is that how you pronounce his name? He's the owner of the Milwaukee Brewers and has been accused of stealing sand from a beach in Southern California to use at his own home. recent lawsuit filed in Los Angeles by Mr. Attanasio's neighbor claims that the billionaire, he's a billionaire, excavated sand from a public beach to use in a personal construction project. Mr. Attanasio's lawyer says his client adhered to the permits that he obtained to repair the seawall of his home in Malibu. And that included apparently removing some sand, and he just decided to repurpose it. If he is found guilty, he could be fined up to $30,000, as well as a daily fine of up to $15,000 for each violation. But again, he's a billionaire, so he probably doesn't care. That's just wild. Is he a billionaire stealing sand from a public beach for your own home? Okay. I guess when you've got that much money, you can do whatever the heck you like. Elsewhere in the broken news, a judge in Detroit makes the broken news. Again, not very often that the judge makes the broken news. Usually it's the people who appear before the judge, but in this case, it's the judge in Detroit that is facing criticism for the way he disciplined a teenager who fell asleep in his courtroom. Here's the kicker. The teen didn't fall asleep during a court hearing. It was actually during a school field trip. Teenager wasn't even in court for having broken the law or doing anything wrong. Teenager was just on a field trip and fell asleep in the courtroom. Judge Kenneth King ordered the 16-year-old to change into jail clothes and had her handcuffed. Let me repeat, she was there on a field trip. The judge then reportedly threatened the teen with jail time, even asking some of her classmates if he should send her to a juvenile detention facility. Wow! And she was on a field trip. She had done nothing wrong. She was just on a field trip. Her mom tells local news reporters that the incident left her daughter traumatized. And the reason, it turns out, that the teenager was tired was, and this is actually kind of sad, because she doesn't currently have her own bed to sleep in. And so there were certainly extenuating circumstances in this case. The judge defended his actions when confronted with this information, saying it is his own version of scared straight. All right, then. Wow. She was on a field trip, even. Okay. Gotta have a story out of Florida every day. And here's another brilliant guy who was undone by social media. A Florida man who shot himself in the leg has pleaded guilty to possessing a firearm as a convicted felon. Records show that James Hilligart shot himself while live streaming online back in January. I don't know if he did it intentionally or accidentally, but he shot himself while he was on a live stream online. An investigation uncovered not only the sawed-off shotgun in his possession, but a shotgun buried in the yard as well. Crazy. Investigators found additional online posts of Mr. Hilligart with other weapons on social media as well. And again, as a convicted felon, he is prohibited from possessing a firearm. Not only did he was posting about it on social media as if he was thinking that law enforcement can't use Facebook. You know, he now faces a maximum of 15 years in prison. And it all started when he shot himself. That's bad day. That's a bad day. This is kind of a crazy story. In the international file, fishermen in Great Britain managed to reel in a rare Lego shark from the 1990s. Not maybe the big fish he was gunning for, but it was rare nonetheless. This Lego shark. Richard West, age 35, tells the BBC, "I was actually pretty excited. Probably more happy about finding the shark than anything else I caught this week. It is a priceless treasure," is how he described it, a priceless treasure. Mr. West contacted the Lego Lost at Sea Project. I didn't even know there was such a thing, the Lego Lost at Sea Project. The founder of that organization, Tracy Williams, confirmed that this is the first ever reported shark, Lego shark, from the 51,000 of them that were lost off of a cargo ship during an intense gale back in 1997. Apparently, 50,000 of these shark Lego construction sets fell into the sea aboard 62 shipping containers that were lost. The shark belonged to one of three sets that were available at the time: Shark Cage Cove, Shark Attack, or Deep Sea Bounty. They don't apparently know which one, but reeled in a Lego shark, a rare Lego shark, while fishing. That's kind of crazy. Speaking of reeling in things that you don't expect, from Pennsylvania, where players trying to scoop up a toy from one of those arcade claw machines actually nearly came up with a very rare prize, a live groundhog. No one is exactly sure how the groundhog ended up in the claw machine, how it made its way in the claw machine, but the manager of the custard shop and mini golf outlet where the machine was located says they had a heck of a time getting the groundhog out. Employees first called the claw machine owners, who deferred to police, who called the Pennsylvania Game Commission, and game wardens came and opened up the claw machine, released the groundhog into a nearby field. It is a good story that ended well, according to manager Lynn Castle. He got set free and no one got bit, but can you imagine? Hey, mommy, look, can I have that? Can I fish out that from the claw machine? Live groundhog. That's crazy. Did he see his shadow? That's what I want to know. Did he see his shadow? Or are we going to... Okay. And finally, in the broken news this morning, the story of a Minnesota woman who is facing a number of charges after allegedly ramming her boyfriend with her car. Veronica Gast, age 30, was driving with her boyfriend to a couples therapy session when he broke up with her and asked her to take him home, according to a police affidavit. Instead, Ms. Gast ordered him to get out of the car, and as he was making his way to the sidewalk, she allegedly locked eyes on him and hit the gas in an attempt to run him over. Can't imagine why he wanted to break up with her. She seems like such a stable individual. He suffered the boyfriend then rolled onto the hood and smashed into the windshield, shattering the windshield, and it says he suffered a laceration to his right elbow. Ms. Gast admitted to hitting her boyfriend with the car, now ex-boyfriend with the car, as she was pulling away, but said she didn't slow down right away because she was in shock. She also told police that the crack in her windshield was not caused by the victim crashing into it, but rather the result of him punching it. She is facing charges of second degree assault and criminal vehicular operation, causing bodily harm, gross negligence, and domestic assault. And this all happened while they were on their way to couples therapy. I think here's a case where may be beyond couples therapy. You may be beyond that point. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
We talk to the coaches here on the WFIN Coaches Corner. Hi, this is John Marshall. Join me each week from Ralphie's for the Coaches Corner, presented by the Granary Gifts and Furniture. We'll cover the Findlay Trojans, the BBC, University of Findlay, and much more. The coaches' comments are here each and every week. The Coaches Corner returns Wednesday, August 21st at 6 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Ohio, it turns out, is among the top states where drivers receive the most speeding tickets. This may be something you want to pay attention to as you head into the weekend if you're going someplace this weekend. The folks at Insurify, which is an insurance shopping website, and I think we've had the folks from Insurify on the program in the past. Well, they analyzed the data in their database of more than 97 million quotes from their partner companies to determine which state's drivers have the most speeding tickets on their records. And Ohio is in a tie for second place overall. 7.8% of drivers currently have a speeding ticket on their record. That is nearly double the national average of 4.1%. Now, mind you, this is just the number of people who currently have a speeding violation on their record. If you were to ask how many people in Ohio have ever gotten a speeding ticket, it's likely much higher. But those things, after a period of time, 3 years or so, fall off your record. 7.8% of drivers currently have a speeding ticket on their record, nearly double the national average. And there is a cost to this. The average full coverage car insurance rate in Ohio is $150 a month to insure a car, a motor vehicle in the state of Ohio. That jumps to $222 a month for those who have a speeding ticket. So it's going to cost you. The number one spot overall, North Dakota, 8.7% of drivers have a speeding ticket on their record in North Dakota. And Wisconsin tied with Ohio at 7.8%. Then in fourth place is Iowa, and Idaho is in fifth place. The rest of the top 10, Wyoming, South Dakota, Virginia, Utah, and Oregon. It's kind of interesting. They say one of the reasons why Ohio ranks so high is probably that the Ohio State Highway Patrol uses a data-driven approach to identify areas where dangerous speeding is most likely to occur and then assigns enforcement details to those areas specifically to catch those speeders. So they make a concerted effort to nab speeders more so than some other states. They also theorize that the reason North Dakota is number one is because there's not much of a penalty. Driving 15 miles an hour over the speed limit in North Dakota can result in a fine as low as $15. In Ohio, repeated violations or driving significantly over the limit can result in a third degree or fourth degree misdemeanor, $500 in fines, and up to 60 days in jail. So that's kind of interesting about the deterrence there. And this I thought was kind of interesting when we talk about speeding in general. This may be one of the reasons why we don't take this as seriously as maybe we should. Speeding behaviors had the lowest social disapproval rating of all of the unsafe behaviors in the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety's most recent Traffic Safety Culture Index. Basically, that's a fancy way of saying they asked people about various bad behaviors on the roads, and speeding is the most tolerated when compared to distracted driving, aggressive driving, or impaired driving. People rank speeding well below all of those other egregious actions behind when people are behind the wheel. So we just don't see it as being as big of a deal as some of those other things. And maybe it's not, but again, it does carry a significant financial penalty, as well as all of the legal penalties that you can get yourself into trouble with. So, something to keep in mind next time you hit the road. So, next week, we're going to be talking tailgate recipes as the football season kicks off. Yes. High school football. Week number one. First games are next Friday. So that is next week. We'll be talking tailgating recipes, whether it's high school or maybe college, NFL, whatever. Great stuff.
NFL is...
That's still a few weeks away,
so I'm going to have another set then.
Oh, okay. College football, high school football next week, college football, I think, in 2 weeks, and then NFL after that. But
So we'll just keep doing tailgate.
All kinds of great tailgate recipes. But it is another sure sign that autumn is on the way, kind of like the arrival of pumpkin spice everything.
Yes.
And I know you're kind of a pumpkin spice
sometimes
junkie.
Yeah. I'm not a junkie.
I saw this on the
coffee, cold brew.
I saw this on the Business Wire.
Yes.
The amount of money that we spend on pumpkin spice stuff in the fall. And you mentioned your cold brew. That's actually where the whole pumpkin spice thing has its origins.
Yes.
21 years ago, Starbucks debuted its pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah.
And we have been crazy for pumpkin spice ever since. Every year, the arrival of pumpkin spice ushers in the unofficial start of the fall season, and it starts earlier every year. Just kind of like Christmas, it keeps creeping earlier and earlier for many retailers. According to Yahoo Finance, the global pumpkin spice market. There's actually a global pumpkin spice market now.
Okay.
Last year was valued at $1.1 billion.
Wow.
And this year, it is on pace to reach $2.4 billion. That's not just this year. It says by 2031. So by the end of this decade, $2.4 billion
wow.
on pumpkin spice stuff.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is just incredible.
Yeah. I like Dunkin's cold brew, the pumpkin spice cold brew. It's
more
it's,
than the original Starbucks thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Starbucks coffee's a little too strong for me.
Okay.
So
all right.
I like,
but pumpkin spice is a big thumbs up.
Yes. And the so stuff got that some they, of your... they put on top, the cold foam, and then they put like a cinnamon sugar thing. It's just amazing.
You should do their commercials. So my wife is part of that good chunk of that.
Yeah.
$1.1 yeah. billion. Dollars
yes.
Coming from my wife.
Yes.
No pumpkin spice stuff in today's recipes, though.
No,
we do
yet.
Have a hot chicken salad casserole yes. to start with this week.
Yes. So 3 cups of cooked chicken, shredded or chopped, 1 cup of sharp cheddar cheese grated, 1 cup of potato chips, slightly crushed, 1/4 cup of mayonnaise, 1 cup of celery, finely chopped, 1/4 cup of bacon, cooked and crumbled, 1 tablespoon of dry ranch mix, 1/2 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce. Here we go. And 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder and salt and pepper to taste. So preheat oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit and lightly grease a square baking dish with butter or nonstick cooking spray. Place your chicken, your cheese, your celery, and your bacon in a large bowl. And then in a smaller bowl, whisk together your mayonnaise, your ranch mix, your lemon juice, your Worcestershire sauce, and your onion powder, and season with salt and pepper. Stir your mayonnaise mixture into your chicken until everything is evenly coated. Then transfer everything to a greased baking dish. Top the baking dish with your potato chips. Then place in the oven and bake for 25 to 30 minutes. Or until the mixture is hot and bubbly and the cheese is melty, then remove from the oven, let it cool just for a few minutes, and then serve.
But you
want to
serve it warm. You yes. want to serve it warm.
Yes, this
Good
is
stuff.
Being served warm.
The hot chicken salad casserole. To go along yes. with that, we have a recipe for pull-apart rolls.
Yes, so this is 1 12-ounce can of your refrigerated flaky biscuits, 4 tablespoons of butter melted, 3 medium garlic cloves minced, 1/2 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, and 1/2 cup of shredded mozzarella cheese. So preheat your oven to 375 degrees. Spray a muffin pan with nonstick cooking spray and set aside. Then cut each of your biscuits into 4 pieces. Place all pieces in a medium-sized mixing bowl. Add your melted butter, Parmesan cheese, and garlic. Toss gently to coat all biscuit pieces. Place 3 biscuits into each of the muffin cups. You'll have a few left over. You can cut them again and put them in each one or however you want to do it. Then sprinkle with some mozzarella cheese. Bake rolls for 11 to 14 minutes or until they are golden brown on top. And then let cool for a few minutes. Remove from the muffin pan and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So the pull-apart rolls
yes.
go with your hot chicken salad
yes.
casserole. And then for dessert, we have a recipe for iced oatmeal cookie bars. And you said
yes.
these are kind of like the Little Debbie oatmeal cream
yeah.
pies.
Yes.
But these are bars.
Bars.
Okay.
Right. Yes. So 1/2 cup of unsalted butter melted, 1 large egg, 1 cup of light brown sugar packed, 2 tablespoons of medium dark or full body molasses, 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon. And if you use salted butter, which is fine, just eliminate the salt.
Okay. So you don't need to add extra salt there.
No. 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 cup of instant oats, not old fashioned or the whole oats. You want the instant ones.
Okay.
3/4 cup of all purpose flour. And then your frosting is 1/2 cup of butter softened, 1 1/2 cups of confectionery sugar, 1 7-ounce jar of marshmallow fluff, and 1 1/2 teaspoons of salt. Just depends on how sweet you need to cut the sweetness a little bit.
Okay, so
whatever
just a
you
pinch
want.
Of salt
yeah.
to cut
yep,
down on
whatever.
The sweetness. Okay,
yep.
balance out the sweetness.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Line an 8x8 inch baking pan with aluminum foil. Spray that with cooking spray. Set aside in a microwave safe bowl. Melt the butter about 40 seconds or so. In a large mixing bowl, add the egg, the brown sugar, the molasses, the vanilla, the salt, the cinnamon, and butter. Whisk until smooth. Add in your oats and flour. Stir to combine. Don't overmix this. You want it to be nice, and it's still going to have lumps, and that's okay. So
okay.
Pour your batter into your prepared pan. Smooth the tops lightly with your spatula. Bake for 24 to 25 minutes or until done. If you need to test it, use a toothpick and a center.
Yep,
it should come out clean. Place the pan on top of a wire rack to cool completely before frosting. You don't want to frost this before it's completely cool, because then your frosting is just going to melt.
And it's going to melt.
It's not what you want.
That will not be good.
No. So for your frosting, add the butter, the confectionery sugar to a large mixing bowl and beat on medium high. Start at a low speed before you don't go right straight to the medium high, because you'll have powdered sugar everywhere. Been there, done that.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
That is a warning from someone who's done that.
Yes. Until lightly and fluffy. So just whip it until it's light and fluff, about 3 minutes or so. Stop during some of that time and scrape down the sides of your bowls. Make sure all that powdered sugar is all blended. Then add your marshmallow fluff, your salt, and beat on medium high speed until well combined, about a minute or so. Spread frosting over your cool bars and just make it look nice and pretty and cut it and enjoy.
The recipes for the hot chicken salad casserole, the pull-apart rolls, and the iced oatmeal cookie bars are all on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. We also have those linked up at our webpage at goodmornings.net. Yep. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And with that, we'll finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter. There's a link there to email us directly with anything you want to share. Lots more. Again, check us out online at goodmornings.net. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.